those three states. So it's really long. But did you know that in whole thing out, because you got to pop the whole root out. And when you pull out a dandelion root, I'm telling you, that thing is like this long, right? It has deep roots. You know, there's another thing that in Long Island, that, you know, we have grass and we have shrubs. There's another weed or pain in the butt when it comes to, you know, the shrubs. In Long Island, somehow, maybe it's all the Italians who came over here, but there's a lot of mulberry trees. Right? And I don't know why, but it must have been somebody brought a mulberry tree to New York, and, you know, birds, insects, squirrels, they have a ball with it, and they just fall on it, and I'm sorry to say, sometimes when they poop out the seed, and all of a sudden, it's in the ground. And mulberry trees, when they grow, they're a pain in the butt. Because not only when it fruits, nobody picks it, it falls on all to the ground. And when it falls all to the ground, if you have grass there, guess what? It's eating up your grass. If it falls to the ground and it's by the sidewalk, guess what? You're going to have stains all over your sidewalk. So it's really a pain in the butt around May and June in New York with the mulberry trees. I had a mulberry tree problem in my shrub. I said, okay, I'll just leave it around off. And so I just cut off the top a little bit, and I thought it would solve the problem. No! Next year, it came back with a vengeance. It started growing bigger and thicker. I said to myself, all right, that's it. It's me or you. All right, that's it. I'm going to whack you down to the ground. So I took my saw. I mean, I'm bending down, and I'm hacking the thing off, and I'm, you know, chopping all my might. And I said, aha, I got you. Next year, guess what? It came back with another vengeance. It grew up even bigger. It's crazy. Because you know why? Because once a mulberry tree has its roots deeply established, you can't kill it. The only way that you can kill it is by killing the roots. And I think a lot of it when we look at our Christian life as well. If you have deep roots as a Christian, you can't kill a Christian. If you have deep roots as a Christian, you're going to be fruitful. I mean, our sermon series, Deeply Rooted, it's designed to help us to understand how to be a deeply rooted Christian. And at the end of the go, if you are a tree, especially a fruit tree, the goal of a fruit tree isn't to grow it so it looks nice and beautiful. I know some of you have trees like that in the backyard. You have fruit trees, so you say fruit trees, but they don't fruit for you. All they do is just nice leaves. But if you're a fruit tree, the goal is have fruit, right? The goal is not just have fruit, but to have good, delicious fruit. And that is the goal of the Christian life as well. It isn't just to just kind of grow out and look pretty and tall. But it's about bearing fruit. And our sermon series is designed to help us to understand how to bear fruit. This week, we'd like to take a look in how do we get deeply rooted in Jesus. The passage I'd like for us to take a look at today is John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8. Let's take a look as I read it. John chapter 15, verse 1 through 8 reads, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, and you bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, and you are like the branch that is thrown away and withers, such branches are picked up and thrown into fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." Before we jump into the text, let me kind of set up this passage for us to better understand. In the Gospel of John, John had seven I am sayings of Jesus, right? And these seven I am sayings of Jesus are so important. He says, well, I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. It is so powerful because what Jesus is doing by saying these words, he is declaring that just as God said to Moses, I am that I am, God is saying, I am who God said he was. And I am, because now this is, let me show you who this I am is, right? He says, I am the bread of life, right? When you know God, therefore, this is how God now is represented to us. And so by the seven I am statements, Jesus is declaring a very powerful truth that he is God himself. Such a profound saying. That's why when the Jewish people heard Jesus says, I am, they're very upset with him. Because he's making a profound declaration that he and the Father are the same. And in this passage, Jesus says, I am the true vine. You know, in the Chinese Bible, as I come to discover, they've already made an interpretation translation. In the Chinese Bible, it says, I am the true grapevine. Right? In the text, it's just saying, I am the true vine. Now, we don't know what it is, but it's most likely a grapevine. Because Israel was depicted as a grapevine, and that God was nurturing this and hoping it to be fruitful. And as Israel failed to be fruitful, Jesus is saying, listen, I am now this true vine, and the reason why I'm true is because I'm a fruitful tree, and my Father is the gardener. And when I read this text, I realize that most of us really don't get what Jesus is talking about here. Because the audience that Jesus is talking to, they understand this because they're an agricultural culture. We're not an agricultural culture, right? Some of us, you know, agriculture for fun. They're agriculture to live. And so when Jesus explains this verse to them, he gives us this picture of understanding. Because like I said, in verse 8, Jesus says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple. He's basically saying something that all the people in the audience already know. If you're a fruit tree, you better bear fruit. Because that's what you are designed to do. That is your purpose as a fruit tree. So Jesus is already making a statement that everybody already knows and that most of us as Christians somehow miss. That as a disciple, guess what? You don't say, well, I don't want to be fruitful. As a disciple, this is who you are. This is the ultimate goal. This is the natural byproduct of you believing in Jesus. That if you believe in Jesus and you enter into a relationship with him, the natural byproduct is you bear fruit. That is the natural process of us being a Christian. That is the norm, not the exception. But we've made bearing fruit an exception for Jesus. We say, well, you know, I just go to church. Bearing fruit, that's for other people. I just go to church. You know, as someone who is a gardener, I would tell you, I don't grow a tree, a fruit tree, just so that it can look pretty. If it's nice leaves, you know, oh, I look a tree, oh, I have a big tree. Right? It's embarrassing when you have a big tree and doesn't produce fruit. Because guess what? I'm a fig grower, and I'm Long Island famous, by the way. I used to have a side hustle. You know what my side hustle was? I used to give consultation in how people had to grow their trees. And also, I helped people prune their trees as well. People would show me this big picture of their trees. I'd go, look at my tree. Isn't it beautiful? It's standing like 8-9 feet tall, and it's so beautiful. I love my tree. It looks so pretty. Then I asked them, does it bear fruit for you? Yeah, it bears fruit for you. I said, how many have you picked out of? None. It didn't ripen. I said, you have a big tree, and you have no fruit. You're wasting your time. They don't really, because the goal of growing a fruit tree isn't to look nice, tall, and pretty. It's so that it bears fruit. And then you can pick it. And you can eat it. The goal of, you know, growing a fruit tree is so that it will be nice and beautiful. You know, there's a difference between a wild tree that bears fruit and a cultivated tree that bears fruit. You know that? It's the size of the fruit. It's the quality of the fruit. Right? You can go outside right now. I guarantee you, any of you live close to Sacramento area? Right? If or you've ever drive through Sacramento. Sacramento is fig heaven. Right? There's a lot of wild figs growing in Sacramento. They're growing everywhere. You know, in ditches and all these things. You know why? Because there's a fig wasp and pollinate. So, it's fig heaven. But they grow wild. And they grow all over the place. They grow this way, that way. And some of the fruits taste terrible and some taste good. But when you take a tree from the wild and you begin to cultivate it, that's what Jesus says, this, I am the true vine. I ain't a wild vine. I'm the true vine because my Father is the gardener. He is the one that cultivates this tree to be fruitful. And in order for a tree to be fruitful, Jesus says there are actually two main processes that in order for a tree to be fruitful. He says the first thing is pruning, right? Any vine, any branches that does not bear fruit, my Father prunes. And any branches that does bear fruit, he still prunes so they'll be more fruitful. Pruning. You know, pruning is very scary. The first cut of pruning, if you've never pruned a tree before, it is very scary because you're afraid you're going to kill the thing. I remember pruning a tree for my mom. You know, she had a tree, a fig tree in the backyard, and she said, son, it never bear fruit for me. I said, don't worry, I got this, Mom. And I started cutting. My mom's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're killing my trees. I said, don't worry, I got this. I know, trust me. Okay? And so I pruned the tree around at that time was probably March. And I said, don't worry, okay? By the time around August, trust me. Okay, you trust me. All right? So I pruned the tree and everything, and then all of a sudden it was like this giant monster, and I brought it down to like this size. And she's like, oh my goodness, what are you doing? I'm not gonna bear fruit. I said, don't worry. When summer came around and she looked at her tree and she said, oh my goodness, the tree is like beautiful and humongous and everything. I said, yeah, that's right. And then when it's time to harvest her figs, she said, oh my goodness, there's so many figs this year. I said, I know what I'm doing. Okay, don't mess with me. I know what I'm doing. I'm Long Island famous. Pruning is so important. Why do we prune? Did you know that most fruit trees bear fruit on new wood? Oh, you didn't know that, right? Most fruit trees bear fruit on new growth. That's why we need to prune. When an old branch that doesn't bear fruit, it's already lost its purpose and function. It's not bearing fruit. It needs to be pruned. And so when Jesus prunes, or when God the Father prunes, he's pruning the things in our life that's not bearing fruit. Now, you know, we're branches and we want to grow the way that we want to because we're the boss of our own life and we decide what we want to prune. But let me tell you this. If you want to be successful in anything in life, you have to make hard choices of what to stop with and what to remove in your life, right? Like, if you want to be a good student, some of you have to sell your soul to the books. I'm sorry. Right? Or If you want to have a successful business, you got to make choices of how you spend your time. If you want to be successful in anything, in music, you have to make certain choices of what to remove out of your life so that that part of it can be focused. And when Jesus says, then, what areas of my life that is God the Father removes, pruning is a removing process. And I really don't believe that any one of us can truly be fruitful in the way that God has deemed us to be fruitful. That, I mean, at the end of the day, to grow a tree, a fruit tree, it is so that you can grow the most delicious, most beautiful fruit possible. And that requires pruning. It requires a cutting off of things in your life that's just taking up space, right? I often tell people, like, when you have a branch that's not fruiting, it's just taking up space and energy. There are things in our life, and let's be honest, that's just taking up a lot of space in our life and is taking up a lot of our energy. But it's not going to bear the fruit that God wants. And we're continuing to wanting that branch to grow. And therefore, it's causing all the fruitful branch not to grow because it's sucking up all the energy and it's sucking up all the nutrients from growing. That's why God needs to prune those things. That's why there are certain relationships that God says that needs to go. That's why there are certain situations or certain things that we want that God's not going to allow because it's just simply going to take up too much energy, resource from us in order for it to be fruitful. There's another reason why we prune too, because sometimes branches just have its mind of its own. It just likes to grow the way that it wants. There are crossing branches. You've seen trees, right? The branches cross each other. They kind of block out light from other branches. You got to cut those off. There are some things in our life that may seem a little fruitful, but they're just getting in the way of things that God says are more essential. And those things need to be pruned off in order for the fruit to be beautiful. And if you and I are honest enough, we can say, yeah, there are things in our life that needs to change. But those are areas in our life that actually needs to be cut off. There's another reason why we prune. It's so to prevent diseases. And that's why Jesus says in verse 4, it says, you know, you are sanctified by the word. You're clean because of the word. Right? Why? Because when we begin to prune, it allows air of movement to come into our life. It removes the clutter, so you can say, the busyness of life. Some of us have a very busy life, but it's not producing the fruit that God wants. And our life is very cluttered with a lot of to-do lists, but not necessarily to bear fruit. And this is a question that you and I really need to ask ourselves. Is what are the areas in my life that God says needs to bear fruit, but I just got too much clutter in my life that's preventing it from bearing fruit? And that's why that pruning process is so essential. Because pruning not only prunes for new growth, because this is something I profoundly believe is you can't stop something, you can't start something until you stop something. Right? You cannot stop something until you start something. We need to prune the things in our life because we need to have new growth. So if we want to draw closer to God, then there are certain parts of our life that we need to stop because it's preventing us from drawing close to God. Right? Whatever that is, for some of us, listen, maybe we need to get a handle on our time because we're putting our time, don't get me wrong, how we spend our time is important, but sometimes there's an overemphasis. You know, I'm sorry, since most of you are Chinese, I just got to pick on you in Chinese, you know. As Chinese, we value school and education so much, right? We want our kids to get into the best schools. We want to get into the best schools. But at what cost? Sometimes those things need to be pruned a little bit. Not totally stopped, but it needs to be pruned a little bit in order for new growth to take place. So you can't stop. You can't start something unless you stop something. And in order for us, some of us need to stop some of the things we are doing and begin to embrace what God is wanting to do in our life. Because you can't start something unless you stop something. That basically means new growth will not happen unless we prune. Do you know pruning doesn't mean just cutting off branches? It means plucking off the fruit. Every time I tell people this, they are so afraid. A tree can bear lots of fruit. That doesn't mean all those fruits will ripen. And it doesn't mean that all those fruits will come out big. Sometimes you just gonna have to pluck off those fruit that are small. Because as a fig grower, this is so nerdy. I counted the days and how, from the day that it started budding until the day it fruits. Okay, one of my hobbies. And I've discovered there's three varieties, which I call the 60, 90, 120 rule. Right, 60 days is early. Basically, it says it takes about 60 days from an early variety from, when it starts having right-sized figs. It takes about 60 days for it to fully ripen. Then your mid-variety takes about 90 days, and then the 120 days, those are the late varieties. I calculated, and I said, when I grew up in New York, I know there's a small window for me, and that is I have basically from mid-August to mid-September in order for my figs to be nice, beautiful. After that, it's just terrible. And so I did the math, and I said, I want to produce the best figs possible. And sometimes that required me to remove some of the figs to give the ones that are a little bit bigger an opportunity to ripen in time. Sometimes in life, there may be things that we are doing that may seem very successful. It may seem very good, but it's preventing from the fruit that God wants us to bear from fully blossoming. And that means we might have to prune those off. It's very scary. But if we want to be fruitful, that's what it's going to require. Right? And by the way, people pay a lot of money for this advice. It's called life coach. That's what your life coach will tell you, right? Well, you're getting this for free, my goodness. Right? That's what your life coach, what do you need to stop from your life in order for it to be? This is what Jesus says. That there are things in your life that may seem productive, that may seem you're successful with, but it is not growing the fruit that he wants. And you're going to have to pluck it off. Scary. But the goal of our Christian life is to bear much fruit. Not just much fruit, but delicious fruit. Good tasting fruit, attractive fruit, beautiful fruit. That is the goal of the Christian life. It isn't just to grow like a tree and say, look how tall I am. Look how beautiful my leaves are. That's not the goal. The goal is to bear fruit. The second process that Jesus talks about, and this is a verse that often used to confuse me a lot. Remain in me, and I will remain you, you in me. And Jesus goes like three verses of me and you, you and me and you, you and me, connect. It's just constantly this repetition of you remain in me, I remain in you, you remain in me. What does this mean? It's not until I began to really grow fruits and really be into growing fruit that what Jesus is referring to, that everybody that he's talking to understands, and that is the grafting process. To graft. Because a branch, a stick, right? Not a lot of trees. Actually, you can root the stick. It has to be grafted. There's only a very few varieties of fruit that you can actually root the cuttings. But most fruit trees, you have to graft it in order for it to grow. Right? So you want it to grow, then you have to graft it. Now, grafting is very complicated. In order for grafting to take, because what now, you have a dead stick, pretty much, that has some energy stored up. And you got to connect this dead stick to this tree that is connected with roots and that's providing all the energy and all the sap that's flowing throughout the whole tree. And you're trying to take this and you're trying to connect this in. Because the only way that this tree, this little cutting, this dead stick, can have life is that it's connected to a source, and for this source to flow into this dead stick. And this is the grafting process. Now, you don't just stick it on and hope that it grows. It doesn't work that way, because in order for grafting to take, there needs to be this perfect alignment. Right? This perfect alignment where the, you know, if you actually scrape a bark, a tree, a branch, if you scrape it a little bit, you notice there's green in it. Regardless how outside looks, you don't believe me? Go home and try it. Right? If the branch is alive, scrape it a little bit. You see it's green. That's called cambium. You have to line up that green with that green. Because then that's where the joining process begins to take place. When it lines up, then the sap now begins to flow from what is alive to what is dead. And so what Jesus is saying, that if we want to bear fruit, we can't bear fruit by ourselves. That is the fruit that will honor God. That if we want to bear fruit, then we need to start taking the process of aligning our life to God. We have to begin to take the process of aligning ourselves in alignment so that the nutrients, the sap, will begin to flow in us. If that alignment is off, you either have a very sick branch that's not very productive and fruitful, or that branch will die. And here's the thing, most of us actually believe that we can be fruitful apart from God. We actually believe that we can actually bear spiritual fruit apart from God. That we can actually not be in alignment with God in order to be fruitful. Because, I mean, we're, you know, strong-willed people. We like to do things that the way that we want to do it. We want to engage in things that we want to do and say, well, I'm going to bear fruit that way. No. A dead branch, unless it is connected to the source, will not bear fruit. What are the areas in our life that's not in alignment with God? Let's be honest. I mean, you know, let's be honest here. What areas of our life that's happening in our life right now that's not really in alignment with God? We can go to church. That doesn't necessarily mean you and I are aligned with God. We can go through the process of going to church and thinking that by going to church we'll be fruitful. But are we really in alignment just because we go to church? To be in alignment, it basically means that what God wants us to do, we do it. To be in alignment with God is the heart of God now becomes our heart. The ways of God now becomes our way. That's alignment. Because a dead branch doesn't say, I'm going to decide to bear fruit. No, Jesus says, once a branch is cut off from the source, unless it's grafted in, it's going to dry up. And when you dried up, guess what? You're just firewood. And we can't bear fruit. The ultimate goal for us as a Christian is to bear fruit. And we don't realize that. And we don't realize what's preventing us. But if we want to be a Christian and a follower of Jesus, it requires that we bear fruit. Now, we bear fruit not on our own terms, not through our own power. We bear fruit because we are in alignment with God. We bear fruit because we allow God to prune the areas of our life. We're in alignment because we know what to stop so that we can start. We're in alignment because we know the things in our life that may seem fruitful that we just got to let it go. Do you know, just to let you know, do you know what's a pastor's dream? You know, let me give you the ranking order of full-time ministry. Missionaries, church pastors, professors, and pastors. Right? Let's be honest, right? You know, when somebody all of a sudden teaches in seminary, a teacher who teaches people how to be pastors, you all have a little more respect for them, right? Just be honest. Okay, don't lie. Especially you more Chinese people. Right? Don't lie. Right? All of a sudden, if they have a doctor in front of their name, right? Don't lie. You just, oh, that person must actually knows what they're doing. Right? Right? Yeah, that's true, right? You know, I had the privilege of teaching in seminary without a doctor in front. Right? So that says, I'm pretty good. Don't tell anybody. I'm pretty good. I had the privilege of doing that, and that was great for my career. I mean, I could walk around, strut my stuff a little bit like, not only do I pastor a church, but I teach students. I can say to people, oh, that pastor, that was one of my students. Oh, my goodness, that just sounds so good, doesn't it? Right? Makes you feel so good. Oh, him? Yeah, I know. That was one of my students. Just makes you feel good, and I mean, like, it looks very fruitful. Honestly, I was teaching in seminary. I was teaching courses in seminary. I was teaching how to preach and teaching people how to be leadership development, and it was great. I loved it. And then one day, I was going to seminary, you know, getting ready to teach, and I'm also working on my doctorate at the same time, crazy person, and I'm also trying to plant a church. Don't do that all at once. You're supposed to do that one at a time, but, you know, I don't listen very well. I think I'm Superman. And so I'm trying to do all three at the same time. And all of a sudden, I'm driving to seminary, you know, and by the way, from Long Island to where I worked, it was an hour and 15-minute commute. So I used to do the commute. And so I'm driving, and, you know, I'm doing my thing. I'm listening to God. I'm trying to hear God. And I'm saying, Lord, I'm open. I'm just here for you to listen and to talk, you know, talk to me. And so on the car ride up there, I remember distinctly God said, listen, Ron, we need to talk. I said, okay. And so I got up to my office in seminary. I sat down, and I said, Lord, what do you want to tell me? Right? Here I was. I was working my doctorate. I was working on my, quote, you know, I'm teaching in seminary, and I'm trying to plant a church. And God said to me, Ron, first things first. Those are the words I heard. I heard him said, first things first. And so here I was, I'm trying to think about what's first things first. And then God began to reveal to me. The first things first was, I'm doing all of this because he called me to plant a church. And I wrestled with this. Now, you know, by the way, teaching is good for my career. I mean, you know. I, you know, become famous and popular, you know, you have my own podcast or something, write my own book, you know, my face will be all over on, you know, all the popular Christian websites, whatever, you know, I'll be famous and popular and my name will be known. And all of a sudden God says, first things first. You know what he was telling me? He's telling me to prune. He's telling me to prune. There was fruit. In teaching seminary, there was fruit in me studying for my doctorate. There was fruit. But God said, first things first. And I walked into the dean's office a week later and I said, I'm done. God said, first things first. And so I resigned. And I pressed pause on studying my doctorate. Did you know I'm one class short of starting my dissertation? But first things first, what may seem fruitful, sometimes God wants to prune. Because what God is interested in, it's for us to be a disciple who bears much fruit. Not just much fruit, but the most delicious fruit. The most sweetest fruit possible. Yes, some of, you know, God is called different, one of us to bear different amount of fruit. But whatever fruit we bear, whether it be 1, 5, 100, it needs to be delicious and sweet. And the only way that's going to happen, it's going to require for us to remove some areas of our life. It's going to require for us to realign some of areas of our life so that we can be fruitful. By the way, you can tell God, look at me. Look how big of a tree I am. Look at my leaves. I'm the biggest tree in the forest. And God would say, show me your fruit. Because people, when I used to grow figs, people would say, oh, my tree's so long, it's 8 feet tall and all that. And I look at them, so how are you going to get your fruit? And I say to them, you know, I grow a fig tree. It's in a 15-gallon pot. It's 15-gallon. It comes up to about my eye level because I want to look down on my tree. I don't want to reach up. And I said, my little 4 feet tree outproduces your giant tree. My little tree ripens every one of its fruit that it bears. Your giant tree may have 200 figs, but you've only picked 10. What's the difference? I prune and you don't. My brothers and sisters, there are things in our life that God is saying we need to remove. The first cut is the most difficult. But those who have seen me prune know I'm ruthless when pruning a tree. I'm also pretty ruthless when it comes to pruning my life. Because at the end of the day, I don't want to just look like a nice, beautiful tree. I want to look like a nice, beautiful tree that bears much fruit. That requires removing and alignment. What is it? What is that it that needs to be pruned? What is that it that needs to be realigned so that the life of Christ flows in you? For every one of us, that it will look differently. But what is that it that you need to prune? What is that it that you need to realign yourself with? Because once you do it, you will be fruitful. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. Let's pray. Jesus, we come before your presence in acknowledging that you are the true vine. You are the source of life. Unless we tap into you, we will not bear fruit. We also confess, Lord, that we are a tree that grows in whatever direction that we want because we think we're a wild tree that gets to do whatever we want. But Lord, you said that in order for us to be fruitful, we have to be a tree that is cultivated by you. And so God, we pray that we have the courage, that we have the courage and the willingness for you to prune. That we have the courage and the willingness for you to allow parts of our life to be realigned. We're thankful, Lord, that you are a God and you are a gardener that demands nothing less but fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son. is the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of kings.